Hey, a note for movie characters. Never say, what are you going to do, shoot me? Because sometimes then you get shot. Like, I know a lot of the time you don't, but still, you've got like at least a 25% chance of dying anytime you dare someone to shoot you. Try a new tactic, like run. I know you're Idris Elba and you look very cool, so look cool while you run away from the guy with the gun. That would work. This and other life lessons within American Gangster, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, I'm Sean Collier, and everyone's wearing an Edgar suit. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Sugar, water.
And Camila Adams.
Those cockroaches are my friends.
It's a little ill-defined, isn't it? Like, he really cares about the particular roaches on this planet he hasn't been to before.
It's like if we went to an alien planet and there were mammals, and we were like, protect the mammals, they're my people. Which, like, I don't know, if you were on an alien planet and they had, like, alien dogs, you would be like, no, the dogs, we have those.
True. I guess. If I was on an alien planet, I'd be thinking about other things.
I think so, too.
It'd be more about me, myself, and I.
I need, like, a comic book that'll have one issue that goes deep into where Edgar is from and what he cares about. And we go from, two episodes ago, we were in the bottom 10. Awakening is our 9th lowest rated movie, to the top 10, which now goes Fight Club in first place, Alien in second, Men in Black in third overall.
Still surprising.
I know.
Exactly 1/3 of a point over Pulp Fiction in fourth and Ghost in fifth. Speed is in sixth. Ocean's 11 is in seventh. Purple Rain, The Fugitive, and Seven. So Tommy Lee Jones is well represented.
Mm, I would watch 9 out of 10 of those movies right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's like all of those sound like great little afternoon, weekend kind of.
The only one I don't want to watch is Seven, and that's not because it's not a great movie, but it's Seven.
It's because your gentle heart can't take it.
Exactly.
Purple Rain's a lot for the afternoon.
I'd watch it.
That's a lot of feelings and horniness for 2 p.m. It's more of a nighttime movie.
Nighttime with Hennessy. And
and by the way, we alluded to it last week. Yes, this was the most we have ever agreed on a movie. If you listen to the Men in Black episode, Robin and I both gave it an 89. Camila gave it an 87. That's very close. The previous closest was Ant-Man. Camila and I both gave it a 73 and Robin gave it a 70. So almost the same situation. But
yeah, and I think Ant-Man was more, we were all more just like,
this is fine.
Superheroes, they did the stuff. Big Thomas the Tank Engine, nice little flourish there, and we move on. But now we've moved on. What a turn from Men in Black to American Gangster. Mash those up, that'd be fun. I saw this in the theater and remember liking it and haven't seen it since. How about you?
I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater, and I have seen it a few times before, probably not all the way through. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a long one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely one that if it was... Because I think, actually, I probably just watched like the second half of it a couple weeks ago because it was on TV and we just kind of stopped and watched it.
It seems like a pretty good movie to have on...
Yeah.
You know, when you're like scrolling your phone or doing something and it's
cleaning.
Like, oh, this part's a good part. I'm going to pay attention right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
And it's Russell Crowe is back. I can go move the laundry.
Right.
I can go move the laundry.
Yes.
Oh, you said it last week.
Right. We've been texting each other like this whole episode is a waste of time because I'm just going to cut in what Camila said last time.
So we have to watch both movies, I guess, the Russell Crowe and the Denzel Washington.
Oh, God damn it. That's the whole podcast in 30 seconds.
That's the fastest draw to burn ratio we have ever recorded.
It's such the truth. Because I was actively watching it this time, just like, you know, we could probably cut out 70% of Russell Crowe's shit, and it would still make sense and be a nice, great movie.
I think you could cut out 100% of it. I think this could just be about Frank. That's his name, right?
Yes.
And it would be better?
Yeah.
Well, this gets to my main question, you know, immediately before we do all of our segments. It's a good movie. I like it. What's the point
of the movie or Russell? Basically, it's not to give your husband flashy gifts.
Yeah, see, this all comes down to one chinchilla coat. No, I mean, you know, we get in a 156-minute movie, we get to like the, oh, they're going to team up to get the crooked cops at minute 140?
Right. That is so weird. It's like they were setting up a sequel.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which honestly, I would watch. Like, yeah. I would absolutely watch the movie where it's like, oh, the cop who chased him and then prosecuted him, which is weird, became his defense attorney. And then they cut this deal and they exposed corruption. That sounds more interesting than almost all of what happens with Russell Crowe in this actual movie.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So was that the, are we here to get to that point? To get to the, we're teaming up to the area where our interests align is being mad about crooked cops, and that's the point of all this? Because if you, that was, you should have done more of that and less of all this other stuff. Or are we here for the Frank Lucas biopic?
Okay, so this is my theory. My theory is, A, and I haven't read the article that this is based on, so I don't know how much they tie in the Russell Crowe character into that article. Mm. I don't know if that is the origin of this pairing.
I'm not sure.
But my theory, when I first started watching this, with Camila's framing in mind, I was like, why did they do this? And I was like, oh, in the beginning of the movie, they lay out a really solid case for like the cops or the mafia, right? And so it is interesting to have parallels between here are these white cops acting exactly like the mafia, and then here is Denzel Washington becoming an organized criminal kingpin, right? And then you can have interesting moral questions involved there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then they fully abandon that because they're like, well, let's focus on the one good cop. And I feel like that's a little bit of it, the 2007 of it all. Like, they just weren't ready to go, like, full ACAB. Like, I don't know. But honestly, they fully abandon that after a half hour. Like, after his partner dies and he joins the fledgling DEA, it's like they just are uninterested in corrupt cops except for a couple of like run-ins with Josh Brolin. And at that point, he's not even treated as an officer of the law. He's just treated as like a rival criminal. Yeah. They're like fully not examining it.
There's the character you could have gotten rid of entirely.
Right.
Because even by the end of the movie, they're like, oh, he shot himself. The end.
Right. Like, I do like that shot where he lets the coffee spill on the mattress.
Yeah.
That's a really good shot.
Even with the sizzle. I was like, wow, that's into it. I like it. But we could have done without Josh Brolin, even though I enjoyed him.
He's fine.
Yeah, but it wasn't necessary.
No.
But then if that's the...
I don't think they're real. I think the problem is there was like a lot of starts. It was like maybe three or four different like, oh yeah. And nobody ever was like, okay, Ridley, this is what we're doing. And
right.
For 20 minutes at the beginning of the movie, it's about how Russell Crowe found $1 million and turned it in. Mm. And once every 45 minutes, someone has to ask him about that to tie it back.
Right.
Okay, so he doesn't like crooked cops for that reason. Denzel doesn't like crooked cops because, which is, by the way, is one of the true details, is that his 12-year-old cousin was murdered by the police. Okay, those are the two inciting incidents, and we focus on them and make a path by which these two characters come together in the middle of the movie and uniting their principles for these disparate reasons, fight crooked cops.
Yeah.
It's like not even the middle of the movie. It's like the tail end of the third act.
Well, I'm saying, well, I'm saying what it should have been. It should have been, we meet this guy, we meet this guy, here's how they come together, and now they're the team.
But they fell into biopic tropes too much. And I will say, Roger Ebert gave this movie 4 stars. Mm-hmm. Of course he did. This is Roger Ebert bait. But he's such a good writer. His thesis is that this is a movie about capitalism. Hmm. And
well, Bumpy does talk about the middleman.
Exactly. Yes. And he's like, this is a person who did everything that a good businessman does.
I was thinking,
but he does it to sell heroin to people. And I do think that the parts of them, like, I really like when they like cut from the Thanksgiving dinner to people overdosing. That's a really good scene. And mm-hmm. like, it's heavy handed, but they sell it. The thing that's so frustrating about this movie is that it could have been great.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
I think it's pretty good.
It's not great. But I enjoy it. Like, I do like it.
Oh, me too. I don't want to be like, you're not great, so you're garbage.
Yeah. No, yeah. But
I am tempted.
But it's mostly just like, it relies heavily upon Denzel.
Oh, my God.
Heavily.
Yeah. This movie would be garbage without him.
Exactly.
Here's why I maybe enjoyed it more. Two full sittings. I watched this as two movies.
I see.
I sat down and watched it until he got married. At the wedding, I stopped it and finished the next day.
Okay.
It's better as two movies than one.
Right.
Okay. It is much better as, we're going to set this up and then, oh, and now here's how that plays out. Then I imagine it is sitting there for 2.5 damn hours.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, it took me like 4 or 5 days for me to watch it.
I watched it all in one sitting as the director intended.
God bless you.
Well, I'm going to give a 60-second recap, maybe influenced by the fact that I did watch it in two sittings. maybe, in fact, wrote this recap before seeing the second half of the movie. And yet, tell me when to go.
All right, go.
It's New York in the 70s. Frank Lucas is a protege to mid-level New York drug kingpin named Bumpy. Bumpy dies, and everyone figures that Frank doesn't have the gumption to take over Bumpy's territory. But Frank has a plan. He's got a cousin in Vietnam, and he's going to go over and arrange to get super pure heroin shipped straight from Vietnam to New York. He undercuts the price with better stuff and takes over, announcing his dominance by shooting Idris Elba in the head in broad daylight on a crowded street in between bites of eggs. Meanwhile, Russell Crowe is an irritatingly honest cop and aspiring lawyer whose problematic level of honesty gets him tapped to lead an elite DEA squad. They figure out Frank is a secret big shot and begin pursuing him. This is where I paused the movie. So let's just say from there, complications arise. A lot of people go to jail.
Okay, 45 seconds.
A lot of people.
I mean,
like 30 of his family members went to jail.
I'm impressed with how big his family is.
Yeah. Gives them all a business in a different borough. It's very, what would have been added there is they catch Frank, he cuts a deal.
Right.
Turn on crooked cops.
But that's almost entirely communicated through title cards at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it's truly like they ran out of money, time, like they clearly ran out of time.
Right.
They were already over time.
Well, they had the one big confrontation scene, which is at 2 hours and 30 minutes. It's the first time Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington have spoken to one another.
Right.
And it's great. And then it's the end of the movie because we've done enough stuff.
The other movie I kept thinking about while watching this was Heat. Y'all seen that?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Sean, have you seen Heat? From before 2000, so my guess is no.
I've not seen Heat.
Sean, you have to watch Heat.
I hear it's good.
You have to watch Heat. Like, I know you get that a lot, but this one, I mean it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is a movie where it's half about the cop and half about the criminal, and it works. Mm-hmm. And in there, it's much less the cops are also criminals and much more obsession will ruin your life, which is a easier parallel to draw, I think.
I appreciate the fact that you bringing up that, Frank is a successful businessman. Like, he's extremely smart and extremely intelligent, and just everything, he did everything right. It's just he was doing it for illegal purposes.
Right. Like, he just has no moral compass. Like, right. That's the problem.
Exactly. And it's just
so do actual, like, the last line of Ebert's review is, in another life, this movie would be about Kenneth Lay.
Yeah. I mean, if it were anything but heroin, you'd be like, good for him. Right. If it were anything else, you'd be like, yeah, he got a lot of people some work.
Right, he's got a good business mind, good business head on his shoulders there. But it's also like, I appreciate just the more appreciation I got out of it are the little things and little tidbits that Frank is laying out. And it's like, you know, he talks to his brother, cousin or whatever. And it's like, you know, the loudest dude in the room is more than likely the weakest dude in the room. And he talks about, you know, don't be flashy. He's like, that suit is going to get you shot. Like, stop it. And then turn it out. Like, when his wife presents him with the chinchilla coat,
but even
the look on his face.
who better to be the guy that the smart guy tells you not to be than Cuba Gooding Jr. Here's the living embodiment of how not to act.
Right.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
For example, here's Cuba, he's right there.
That's a good scene.
Yeah, that's good.
I know which, you don't like Cuba.
Which scene? In the strip club?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping that he was going to catch a bullet in the head. Like, and I kept, I was like, does he get shot in this? I don't remember.
I also couldn't remember. I was like, I feel like that would be a little redundant.
Yeah.
We already kind of watched that scene. But it's a good scene.
It is a good scene.
And yet it is weird to me to consider Cuba Gooding Jr. and Idris Elba in the same context. Like, those feel like different times, different
it's
worlds.
One on the way out, one on the way out. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I don't think anybody, he wasn't Idris Elba at this point.
This like, was after was, The Wire, but like, this was probably one of his first big movie roles, and he's barely in it.
Right. And it's also just like, again, like, and I don't know if it's just me or maybe the rest of the world actually was watching The Wire, but I feel like I didn't catch on to The Wire until after it was off the air.
Oh, okay.
And like, watched on DVD. Like, still, nobody was telling me about Idris. Nobody said nothing to me about Idris Elba before I watched The Wire.
Why was I not informed?
Right.
I feel like when The Wire was first airing, because I did watch it as it was airing, and I feel like people were like, this Idris Elba guy, he's pretty good, but they should have been more like, everyone stop what you're doing and write a movie for Idris Elba.
Well, it was early in his career. In fact, it was 2007, November 2nd of 2007, when this film was released, 34th number one movie of that year. Won its opening weekend with $43.5 million. Second place was fellow debut B-movie.
What?
With $38 million.
An animated movie with Jerry Seinfeld as a bee, mm-hmm. who a human woman falls in love with? Yes, I've never seen it.
I saw it, man.
American Gangster, only a 1 week number one movie in America, losing the next weekend to B-movie. Yes.
Oh, God. I was about to say, I'm glad that's not on our list.
Yes, somehow the DreamWorks movie about the smirking bee held much better than American Gangster. It was close. B-movie earned 25.5 the next weekend. American Gangster about 24.
Because everybody found out that it was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. So they're like, I don't have that kind of time.
I mean, I'm surprised American Gangster was the number one movie to begin with. Like, it was a different time.
Two big stars.
Yeah, but then two big stars, right? I'm just like, it's a movie for grown-ups, right? Yeah. So that seems a rare number one these days.
It was like, you said September it came out?
August. November, I'm sorry.
Oh, November.
Yeah. But early, not Thanksgiving November, the cold part.
Gotcha.
So B-movie and American Gangster both beat new debuts Fred Claus and Lions for Lambs. American Gangster hung around for 6 weeks in the top 10, made a total of $130.1 million, 19th place for 2007. That's one spot ahead of previous subject, Enchanted, by the way.
Huh. So slightly this was a successful film.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I said something last episode about how the real Frank Lucas was also the inspiration for the movie Superfly.
Yeah.
I think that was just wrong.
I thought so too, but I didn't have the receipts.
These are equally possible. I don't know if I was wrong or if the podcast I heard that fact on was wrong.
Gotcha.
And I did not think to go back and check. The only actual connection is that Frank Lucas's nickname was Superfly, but I don't know if that's from the movie or they just borrowed that cool nickname for the movie. These are not the same story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Got it.
So just correcting that. And while we're talking about things that aren't true, it's best not to assume anything in this film is accurate. Nearly every real person involved has disputed multiple points here, up to people saying about 1% of this movie is presented as it actually happened.
I think that drugs in coffins thing is like widely debunked.
Yeah, that's not
it was like propaganda to make people upset. Like, these drug lords are so immoral they would desecrate dead soldiers, right? Yeah, I don't think that ever happened.
Both the real Frank Lucas and the real Richie Roberts says this is mostly Hollywood storytelling. Some former DEA agents sued Universal unsuccessfully.
I'm sorry.
Because
we laugh at that.
Apparently they went to court and the judge was like,
are you kidding me?
The judge was like, yeah, it's bullshit, but they didn't use one actual name of a real person. Were so what's suing, your problem?
Right, were they suing on behalf of the agency? Like,
they just were like, this defames the concept of DEA agents. It's like, what, you think you had a reputation to begin with? Get out of here. Hell are you doing? probably none of this is true. And there's ample dispute that Frank Lucas's cooperation is what led to the big bust.
I bet.
That might not even be true. Although he did get a very light sentence for cooperating. It's probably something that would have happened with or without him. So do not take this as a history lesson, please. Expensive Baubles. This was nominated for 2 Oscars, Robin.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, so Ruby Dee was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Woo-hoo. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm.
She lost to
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
For what?
Michael Clayton.
For Michael Clayton. So, like, are we just going to talk about Ruby Dee first before talk I make Ruby my other Dee. Guess? My other guess is costume.
No.
It didn't have a song in it, did it?
It did, but it was
Public Enemy.
No. Somehow, there was a Diane Warren song in there somewhere.
Oh, Diane wow. Warren. But that's
was,
not it.
That was not the nominee.
No. Art Direction?
Art Direction.
Art Direction. Okay,
lost
period piece.
Art Direction to
2007 Atonement?
Sweeney Todd.
Gross.
I like Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
But Ruby Stripes. Dee.
Ruby Dee is amazing.
Shout
she
out to Ruby Dee.
Is an absolute legend.
She's a gem.
If she won this Oscar, I would have no problem with it.
Right. Did so, she win? Has she won an Oscar? Had
no.
She won?
This is, I think, her only nomination.
Oh, damn.
She won the SAG Award, and she was definitely considered the front runner going in. This was a very weird, it was kind of like Best Actress this year, where it was sort of like, no one really knows what's going to happen. Like, what? Anything could, any one of these people could win? And I think that it was like last minute Tilda Swinton momentum. And I was thrilled when she won. I hadn't seen this movie at the time. Tilda Swinton and Michael Clayton is like in my top 5 film performances ever.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's excellent. You should watch it. But Ruby Dee is so good in this movie, and she has like 4 minutes of screen
time. I know,
time.
Right?
But she made like that one scene. If she won, it would be for that one
where
scene.
She confronts
where
Frank.
She confronts him. And I literally clocked it. It's like 1:09.
Wow.
And it is the best scene of the movie by like leaps and bounds. Like, she's just so good. Oh, she's the best.
She's so earnest.
Yeah.
She's great.
And it's just for real, just like, just to watch her too, because she's like all of like, what, 4'3"?
Right.
And she's like, you know.
She looks like.
Looking straight up at him.
Yes.
She's. Her slapping him is like swatting a fly that's buzzing around your head.
Can you imagine slapping Denzel
like
Washington?
She has to, like, she pulls out a stool and like stands up on it and smacks it.
God, she's just so good. And I also love the scene where he gives her the dresser that was like her dresser had been repossessed and he like had it recreated, and she's like, how can you remember that?
Here's how you know that was a big moment. I cared more about them flipping the dresser than I did about them shooting the dog.
Me, well, obviously me too, but I was so upset about them flipping the dresser, and Colin had missed that scene, and so he was like, what? Because I went, the dresser, and he was like, what?
Listen, I hate to see a dog die on screen. It's well established. And yet I was like, that dog didn't have a good life.
No, his only mission was to be out there.
Just guarding the money.
That dog never saw the inside of that house.
No. Oh, we're not done with Expensive Baubles. What else was it? Yes, that Ruby Dee did win the SAG Award. Good for her. 3 Globe nominations. Best Drama lost. It was a big year. It lost Best Drama to Atonement. Lost Best Director to Julian Schnabel of The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Who got, it's a really weird movie.
It's Javier Bardem, isn't it?
No, you're thinking of Before Night Falls, which is another Julian Schnabel movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It's some French actor or Belgian actor. I don't know, I think. Anyway, it's like a guy who is paralyzed.
He broke his neck diving. It's about his struggle to commit medically assisted suicide.
Right.
Good Lord.
And like,
yeah, great time at the theater.
Yeah, so like, you know, real uplifting fucking.
Where it's like very bleak, but also very beautiful, right?
Yes.
Like, I totally understand why this guy got a Golden Globe and why he got a Best Director nomination at the Oscars. Like, it is a very.
A lot of sunsets.
Lyrical, yes, kind of movie.
A lot of long, loud, like, bellowing chords and strings.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And, like, I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember thinking it was excellent and that I would never watch it again.
Yeah, one of those.
Requiem for a Dream. Yes.
Exactly.
Denzel lost the Best Actor Globe to Daniel Day-Lewis in
Obviously.
There Will Be Blood. Hard competition.
That's tough. Right? I mean, Daniel Day, he did a lot in that movie.
Yeah, no one cared about this Diane Warren obligatory annual song entry. Do You Feel Me? I don't even know who did it. I got a Critics' Choice nomination. Critics' Choice was also the only place to nominate it for Best Picture. Lost to No Country for Old Men. And the Jay-Z album of the same name was titled after Jay saw and loved this movie. But it's not an official connection. Still, that was a number one album in America. And the opening track has dialogue snippets from the film and a voiceover from Idris. So
there you go. Cool.
Yeah. Good for everyone there. Yeah, it's frustrating because it's weirdly structured, but Denzel's doing all the heavy lifting, as you said. But as long as he keeps showing up and saying things, I'm adding 8 points automatically for for shooting him in the middle of breakfast and coming and sitting back
when
down.
When he comes back, my favorite part is how he comes back and starts eating again. And
right, it's like, what was I saying? Yeah, you were saying something about being really honest. Like, whatever you want to say, sir.
It's so... down to the slight overuse of my man. Yeah. I'm like, this is where you go for your Denzel hit. It's right. Like, I need some of that Denzel Washington stuff. Put this on and you'll have a good time.
Exactly.
Do you think that Colin was asking, he's like, did they write this role for him and write that in? Or did he just show up and like sprinkle it in ad lib style?
I feel like anytime Denzel shows up, everybody knows there's going to be a my man in here.
Is there a my man supercut? Because I want to watch it.
Is Denzel my man like mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey?
All right.
It can mean a lot of things. It can mean I like you, I hate you, I need something from you, or I'm about to kill you.
Like pal. You only say pal to someone you really hate or really care for.
It's multifaceted. I appreciate that. It's just the fact of like it's titled American Gangster, mm-hmm. and you bring Denzel in it, obviously, and he's just like the epitome of what, like, I don't know what it is about this man, but like on a normal, because, you know, the whole Uncle Denzel thing was going on for the longest time, seeing him in real life, yeah. Like what that was. So he can exude some sort of just like this really just cool and just like gangsta-esque aura on screen all the time, apparently. Any role he ever plays, I don't know if I've ever seen him play like a nerd or somebody.
Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was really good.
We watch the Oscars. It's in real life.
When Will
needed calming down, no one had to wonder what happens. To Denzel goes and helps.
Denzel got
no
it.
No one asks him. No, it's no, just
Denzel got this. Yeah, exactly.
He just has that authority over the world.
And to me, what would make like a great triple feature is to watch Training Day, mm-hmm. then American Gangster, and then Malcolm X. Because that's like a great little course. Of like you see kind of, you can kind of see like the course of the gangster.
Interesting. I haven't seen Malcolm X in 20 years and I need to rewatch it.
Well, it's 8 hours long and really emotional.
Yeah. Like, that is the thing that has stopped me is I'm like, I don't want to be sad for 3 hours.
I sobbed in the theater when I saw that.
Someone needs to do that as a mystery movie series in the movie theater, like come here every Tuesday night, we're going to show you something that is too sad and upsetting for you to choose to watch, so
but you should watch it.
Right,
it's like you just buy a ticket, like give me some of Schindler's List. Okay, great, we'll get it out of the way. All right, what's
Row House?
Yeah. This will be popular. This will do great.
Nice summer hits.
Back to complaining. We get it, Vietnam. Okay, I know. I feel like a certain kind of drama between the years 1980 and 2010, just
when people who were at risk of or did go to Vietnam were making movies.
Were writing movies?
Yeah.
We need to make this more poignant and set the world around it and set some background. Just have newsreel of Vietnam in the background of scenes forever.
I think it's relevant here because...
That's where the drugs are coming from.
He's a war profiteer, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that is part of what is evil and bad about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of... having the news footage is... it's like cutting to the people ODing.
It just feels...
it's a lot.
It is a lot. And also, this movie is way too long. Any fat should have been trimmed.
Right.
Like, why is his custody trial in there?
So unnecessary.
I honestly think that maybe they were like, oh, we don't have any women in this movie.
And by the way, not true. That was one of the points that... He doesn't have a child. He's never had a child.
I'm going to scream.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, none of that has anything to do with...
That's so fucked up.
He's kind of, from what I could tell, he's kind of like a mild-mannered, putting in the grind work investigative guy. He's almost personalityless, this guy.
I do want to say, Russell Crowe, I like him as an actor more than I think most people do. Mm. Like, I thought he was fine in Les Mis, for example.
I did, too.
Which he's notoriously terrible in, and I was like, he's fine. He can't sing that well, neither can I.
I like him less than most people do, but I'm beginning to appreciate him more. The more that I grow into a middle-aged man with no obvious emotions, the more I appreciate it. I thought he was pretty good in this. He's very reactive, is the thing. Yeah. So if he's not getting much, he's not given much. But when he's like catching Denzel's energy and then serving it back to him gently, then it works.
Yeah. The only two movies that stand out for Russell Crowe for me are Gladiator, which I do really enjoy.
Me too. I know that like people who actually like movies hate Gladiator, but I like it. It's good.
And also
the most recent Best Picture winner I have not seen.
You should watch
what
it.
What the f- And the other Russell Crowe movie will be The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling. He's surprisingly hilarious.
I should rewatch The Nice Guys. I watched it on an airplane seat back and it was very awkwardly edited. They like put digital underwear on naked girls and stuff and it was distracting. I need to give that a second chance.
Hey, speaking of naked girls.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
They're naked so they don't steal anything. Is that a real thing in the world or is that just a way to pack a lot of nudity into your movie?
According to New Jack City.
I was going to say, this is certainly not the only movie I've seen it in.
Right,
it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And to the point where...
I've never been in a crack house. I don't know. But no idea.
Now no one even has to explain it. You just see all of the naked people packing drugs and go, oh yes, they don't steal anything. Like, that's just a fact in our minds now. And it really feels like, you know, we can have 18 naked people in our movie and not get an NC-17 if we use this one weird trick.
Doctors hate it.
It would be hilarious to just find, to just see like the house like this, just like in the middle of something like Atonement or whatever. It's just like, so they don't steal anything. That's why they're all naked.
Don't steal any green dresses.
This is the weirdest scene in Downton Abbey. I saw the Downton Abbey movie last night.
I can't believe there's a second Downton Abbey movie.
Oh, this is the second one. Yes. I was so confused by the whole thing. I was like, I thought this came out already.
I'm peeling the curtain back. Focus Features is the one that's like, we're going to claw our way back by having elaborate events all over the country and sending swag to everybody. Mm. I have a Downton Abbey cutting board now.
Oh, my.
I have a Downton Abbey travel case. There was a little step and repeat with croquet mallets. It was great.
Living the life. So was I asleep or was Norman Reedus in this?
He sure was. He popped in.
40 seconds.
Yep. He's like, hi, I'm Norman Reedus. No, hi.
That was almost his line. I'm pretty sure the character's name was Norman.
I think it was.
And so it was like, hi, Detective Norman. And I'm like, yes, you are. And then he was gone. He had nothing to do.
He truly was like, hello, welcome to the new fake DEA and peace.
And bye.
I mean, this was pre-Walking Dead, yeah?
So 2007, like, oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He wasn't, you know, he was like Boondock, but like nobody knew who Norman
Yeah, nobody
Reedus
gave
was.
This shit. Yeah, I guess that makes more sense for it in my head now than he's just like.
It was still weird. I also was constantly like, that's Chiwetel Ejiofor for not talking.
Right. Like, you bring a whole new character in here to say that?
Right. That is why I wrote in my notes, this is Lincoln for black character actors, because.
So many.
Just like, every person ever.
Because we've got like, you know, T.I.
Right.
Shows up for whatever reason. I guess there was a small window there where T.I. was like really trying to be an actor.
Yeah. Because
there were several movies that I remember seeing and just like, why?
Why every is T.I. here? And he's credited as Tip Harris here. Common is still called Common. Good for him.
Yes. Again, Common was in here as well. And I never can say his name, but Frank's main brother that he smacks around for the shiny suit.
That's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes.
Yes.
I've never attempted to properly say his name.
I'm not 100% sure I'm saying it right.
But, you know, shout out to him because that was like, you know, before he was,
right. You
know, really big. And so there were a lot of really big names. I've never seen Ava in anything else.
She is like distractingly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, whenever she's on screen, I'm like, why is your face so good?
I know. Like, I'm like, dive into her. Like, her eyes are like crystal heaven.
Right?
Like, what is happening right now?
Her name is Lamari Nadal. She's been in like 6 movies.
What is going on? I guess, like, does she have other interests?
She had some Battlestar Galactica stuff, and then most of her other movies are Puerto Rican films.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just, like, plucked her out of obscurity most, just for this.
By most, I mean the other two. That's odd. Yeah.
And good. It's not like she is gorgeous but a terrible actor.
No,
like,
she was fine.
I wasn't, like, blown away by her, but, like, she was carrying her weight.
She did what she was supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And she looked insanely beautiful while doing it.
Those were damn ridiculous.
Rewatching this made me realize, I don't know if I care if cops steal drug money.
Listen, I would have, like, I don't know how he walked away from, I mean, I can see not taking all of it, but I would have, like, taken, like, you know,
you
there
get one
been,
little,
like,
just tuck yeah. it in your shirt pocket there.
Right.
I guess I don't know what happens to drug money eventually, but
I think it just sits in an evidence
I'm
locker.
Pretty sure it just sits there. Like, get, look, you got to be underpaid.
If Law and Order has taught me nothing.
Whatever we feel about them, whatever we feel about police and those many issues, I'm sure they're not getting paid enough.
Right.
Take a little bit for yourself. Yeah, I mean, fine.
Well, this was like 71, 72, and there was some point, like, when they handed over Russell's money for him to, like, do whatever, like, signed it out. He said, this is much more than my yearly salary. $20,000 is what they gave him.
Yeah.
Oof. But that's like $100,000.
Now.
In today's money.
Yes.
I'm going to bust out the inflation calculator. I can't believe I didn't during the movie.
I'm still not satisfied on that thing about 20 million miles to Earth. I texted Robin as I'm watching the 50s sci-fi movie 20 million miles to Earth, and they give some kid $500,000 for telling the truth about what happened to the monster because he secretly released. It was all his fault anyway. And I'm like, how much is that? So now I'm trying to figure out what a lira was worth in 1957 right. and then convert that. And I settled on, they either gave him $800 or $8 million. I can't quite tell.
That's a lot of math for her movie.
The best is that we've established that 200 lira bought a children's hat. How many children's hats by that exchange? How much?
It's $150,000.
Okay.
So, like, I'm super okay with cops not making that much money.
To be clear, I do not support police corruption. But
no.
In any situation where there's a big pile of money and it's not going to the right place, just a little,
just one stack,
a little under your shoe.
Plenty, just
even if it's just a nice dinner. Just
right, $20.
You don't have to buy a chinchilla coat.
Oh my God, and a matching hat like that.
I did watch an episode of The Simpsons right after this where
I feel like
Homer is trying to win Lisa's love back by buying her Malibu Stacy accessories. And he's like, I got you the Malibu Stacy's chinchilla coat. And I was like, what a weird
phrase to hear twice.
Yes.
What's weird is I ended up accidentally having some sort of RZA-a-thon. We watched this, and then I watched Due Date the other day, and he's in there, and then I watched the Wu-Tang Clan documentary.
I didn't know that he had a acting period either.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've definitely seen him in movies, but, like, I went and looked at his IMDb,
right,
and I
was
like, he was pretty busy during the aughts.
Right,
like, he was just out there.
There was a whole, like, that Iron Fist thing, which I was, like, going back in some of my reviews on Letterboxd, and apparently I hated that a lot, and I was like, I will never forgive RZA for this. Was my
Oh, yeah, he beats the shit out of Russell Crowe in the next 3 days, filmed here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He did a lot of movies.
Yeah, I just fully erased that from my brain.
Yeah. I don't know how much there is to say about the trailer. Here's that trailer.
Oh, I totally forgot to watch that.
The man I work for had one of the biggest companies in New York City. He didn't own his own company. White man owned it, so they owned him. Nobody owns me, though. The most important thing in business is honesty.
Bribery, extortion,
integrity, hard work,
murder, racketeering,
family, never forgetting where we came from.
Who is this guy?
See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody, or you ain't nobody.
That is your house, mama.
Mine! I want what you got, Uncle Frank. I want to be you. Frank Lucas is the most dangerous man walking the streets of our city.
This is my home. My country. Frank Lucas don't run from nobody. This is America.
It's fine. It's good, effective. It's a short trailer. That was nice.
I think this trailer does an excellent job of telling you what this movie is. It perfectly establishes the tone and the content of the film, for better or for worse.
I can only imagine that, yes, that's what it was, because I saw it in the theater, probably provoked by the trailer that I watched.
Well, and it did well for, as you said, a grown-up movie, not any part of anything that had built-in interest, like a franchise or a book or anything at all. So clearly the trailer sold it.
Yeah.
Oh, and my Letterboxd list is, an actor gets the chance to say "my wife" and really makes a meal of it.
When he gets shot, they tried to murder my wife.
My wife.
Yeah.
No, he hits both like the same note. My wife. Like that. It's not, it's bam, bam.
My wife.
Denzel, God, bless him.
We're just blessed.
He's just like, he's got this particular accent. I don't know
where
much about him.
From?
Yeah, I have no idea.
You've got the computer.
None
in front
of the three of us in this room inherently know where Denzel is.
I think it's like, it's like this enigma. Like, right. It's just something that exists that I like knowing that he's there, and I don't need to dig around about like his origins.
I don't know where Tom Hanks is from. I don't know where a lot of as famous as they could possibly be, people are from, if it's not part of their identity. Like Matthew McConaughey is from Texas.
Right.
Right.
Born in Mount Vernon, New York, and attended Fordham.
Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Upstate New York. Wouldn't have guessed.
All right. My man.
I don't know. 80? I feel like 80. I have some big structural problems, but they don't really hurt the movie, is the thing. So I'll say 80. Camila?
I am going with 92.
Woo!
Because Denzel is just kind of default. Like, even with the whole Russell Crowe annex.
Denzel built the house and Russell gets an annex.
Right, because it's still like, if it's on TV, you know, like, you know, we were saying, I'll stop at several different parts and watch it.
Well, I feel kind of guilty. My score is significantly lower, and I'm trying not to do the thing where I'm like, it could have been great, so it's bad, but I'm kind of doing that. So, because I just don't think that this all comes together, and it's frustrating. So I was going to go with 65, but I'm giving it 8 bonus points for a positive portrayal of New Jersey and New Jerseyans. So that takes us to 73.
It's important. You don't always get
that. I am very rarely presented with New Jersey as a good place and full of good people.
81 2/3 is your average score. That won't quite crack that top 10 we just talked about. What's in 10th place? 10th is 7 at 85 1/3. But still, we like it. Good movie.
I definitely think it's worth watching if you haven't seen it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is Tony just cycling us through the players in the slap incident? Because we went, Denzel was.
Is there a Chris Rock movie in number
probably one?
There's
Madagascar.
Probably a few. Oh, God. Yeah, there's probably
there's
six, right?
But maybe like Head of State or something snuck into number
he
one.
He did a Heaven Can Wait remake, which is actually kind of good.
Or Jada. There could be a Jada movie in here.
Is there a Jada movie?
Scream 2.
Okay.
Scream 2. We'll know.
Ooh, that'd be great.
When we get to something with the Roots on the soundtrack a lot, we know that it's run its course. We've covered the whole players in that without ever really talking about it. Are we going to change that now? No. To the bingo card. I didn't bring mine with me, so.
I don't think we got anything.
I was shocked there was not a mugshot.
I truly was like on the edge of my seat waiting for the mugshot, and it never came.
Were there none on the big board of faces?
No, they were all surveillance shots.
Exactly. It was all nonsense, like I saw you at a boxing game. Game?
Boxing doesn't have games. Boxing game. Hope they score all the points. It's okay. With both boxing and wrestling, I've seen people struggle for that. We had to go to the wrestling match.
Match seems weird.
The wrestling show.
Yeah, with fight sports, there's nothing you can do other than match. Game is wrong. Show is wrong.
I don't think show is wrong, especially not for wrestling.
Right. It's a wrestling show.
Yeah. I think with boxing, you would say, I'm going to go to the fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, regardless, no mugshots.
So welcome to the number one boxing match in America.
Welcome to some semantic bullshit, though, while we transition. Yeah, so nothing on the bingo card?
No,
really?
No, it's a bunch of nonsense.
Unless a chinchilla coat is drag, which...
I almost want to call this, like, it was... We never got quite clarification that this was Frank's final score. I mean, dude suggested... strongly that it would be, but he was just
he wouldn't have been able to.
I was gonna say he would find another avenue.
Like I said, Downton Abbey is a pleasant time. It's just so nice.
We've transitioned to you can't handle the truth. To the faxy segment, so I'm gonna forgive you that awkward. I was gonna interrupt you and be like, that was one of the best transitions we've ever had,
right?
Thank you.
So
I appreciate that.
It evens out.
Yeah. Doesn't anyone care much about another Downton Abbey movie?
I can't believe it exists.
I don't.
It's very nice.
Give a shit.
I hope it doesn't get nominated for an Oscar because I don't want to watch it.
Oh, the costume nomination is locked in because they are transitioning into the 30s. So now there's all kinds of like more jazz influenced fashion. Ooh. There's a film shoot at this one. So there's like old Hollywood gowns and stuff. You are watching that movie.
Oh, boy.
Firestarter. Did you see it?
I did, because my friend is in it, Gloria Rubin.
Oh, good for her. What'd she do?
The commander or whatever, the main bad person.
Really?
Yeah.
She was working hard.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really trying to sell it.
I know it. That's when I texted her. I was like, yay, you did really great. I like what you did with the character.
Is Zac Efron playing a dad?
Yes.
He's 34.
He does not know how to play a dad.
He doesn't. No, he has no idea what he's doing. But age-wise, he's 34.
Is he a dad?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. He's still living his life.
Sewing the moats. Good.
But she did everything she could with a script that had no idea what it wanted to do.
Yeah, I agree with your write-up on it.
Oh,
like 100% about the 80s. Like just the sap. The score was heavily 80s, and then like pacing 90s is what you were saying.
It sounds like the 80s. It has a John Carpenter score, and they just let him go. So it sounds like that. I mean, I tried to dress it up, be like the cinematography and is very 90s inspired. Really what I meant is it has like gray mist over it that makes you feel like you're watching TBS in 1997.
I thought there was something wrong with my TV for the longest time.
No, that's just how it looks. It never settles on a tone. Sometimes it's kind of campy. Sometimes it's deadly serious.
Yeah.
You don't want to dwell on these details, but spoiler, the wife dies. And no one mourns for a second. Zach is like, well, we got to go. And then they're on the run.
That really bothered me.
There's
like,
no reaction.
Not even just like a weep over her body for a moment. Just...
They cared more about the cat she accidentally barbecued.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. It's like, you want to say some prayers for it? You know what? Like,
mom is still lying on the floor back home.
I thought for a hot second that she was going to come back because there was somebody came back and saved the little girl. And I thought it was the mom because they came back in like a mist or whatever. And I was like, oh, she's going to be pissed that y'all left.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was short because it was bad, but it was the rare occasion where I was like, no, you didn't do enough.
You've done nothing.
You didn't tell
this
the story
quite
of
a
the movie.
Right. Yeah.
No.
There's a million Stephen King adaptations and readaptations happening right now. And
I kind of wish they'd stop.
Like, I mean, it'll be good again. But...
I mean, I tried to watch the original Firestarter before this, but it just didn't work out. But it just doesn't seem like this is the one to redo again.
Yeah.
Because like that one was like in the early 80s. It's just a shocking thing to see a little girl just set people on fire and shit back then.
Right.
Now it's like, we've got Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like
it was built around, remember the cute girl from E.T.? What if she set people on fire with her brain? Without that, why are we here?
Yeah. You know?
Who's the cute girl in this one?
Newcomer.
Okay.
She was fine, you know, she did
her
job.
I think she was older than what Drew's character Drew was.
Name is Ryan Kira Armstrong, and she was, you know, she did her job.
Okay.
Yeah, she was fine.
No complaints there.
I will say, I follow a lot of people who like horror movies on Twitter, and I saw no one positively respond to this.
Which is hard.
Horror fans tend to find at least one person who likes it, so that made me think this must be a bad movie.
Which, I mean, was just the fact that it's in theaters and on Paramount Plus. Same day. That's like I should have known.
And finally, the 1971 Vincent Price movie, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I love
that
Vincent
is
Price.
What I am... Every time time I go to a 70s, like Vincent Price or Christopher Lee, I'd never seen this one. I'd been meaning to see it forever. It's the coolest thing ever. The surgeons accidentally killed his wife during the operation, so he's killing them one by one, but each death is one of the biblical plagues.
Ooh.
And he's got a weird Phantom of the Opera mask and is constantly playing like music, and he has a band, but it's like halfway between like a 40s big band and like when that like loungy calypso moment happened in the 60s.
Nice.
Oh, it's so good.
What's this called again?
The Abominable Dr. Fibes. There's two of them. It's great.
That would be a great rap album name. The Abominable Dr. Vibes.
Yeah.
Yes. Free idea. Or I don't know. Royalties to Camila.
Which, by the way, we just saw Camila rapping just a mere 30 years ago.
Can I cut a little clip in?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's...
Four performers. This is going to be Jamillion and her posse, DePay, Camila, Dalita, John, Khalila, and Thomas. They're getting ready to go to work for you. Let's give them a big round of applause.
All right, yeah.
I want to work like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to watch the way I work. I make miracles happen. Shut the rapper. I'm going to work you out, and I'll go and explode. All to see me. I got the push and choke. You better go there.
Camila just so cool.
Tell us the story behind this performance.
Well, way back in the day, my mom started a singing group with my sister and myself and my cousins, all the Positive Force performers, and we would perform
Amazing.
In schools and Amazing. Churches and festivals and shit around town.
Fantastic.
Positive messages to our peers.
Yeah.
And this was probably like year three that I was in it, and I was probably like, I think 13. It's definitely eighth grade. And yeah, I was rapping Kumo D's, I Go to Work.
Yeah, and you did.
Nailed it. As you just heard, no notes. Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And what? I can still do it to this day.
I'm sure. If you donate enough to this podcast.
Yes. Send us monies and I will perform I Go to Work.
Mm-hmm. And if you triple that amount, I'll perform I Go to Work. That's what you watch other than Firestarter.
I watched The Lost City. It was fine. That
sure is a movie you can watch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was free on something. This is why I watched it. But also, I'd like to shout out to the fact that Sandra Bullock is older than her male romantic partner. So I would like, yes, way to go. And I think, I don't want to say she's the only one that has happened with, but I know it's happened for her more than once. I want to say The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds, mm-hmm. and I can't think of anything else right off, but well done. Well done, Sandra.
She was in, so I don't remember this movie. You can help me out here. She was in that movie where Ryan Gosling was like a creepy kid.
Oh, yeah. Murder by Numbers.
Yeah. And like they had sexual tension. I don't know. I don't remember. Okay. There you go.
Well, no, not in the, they dated in real life.
Oh.
After that movie. Yes. But yeah, that's another one. There was sexual tension and he was coming onto her a lot. But yeah, I will say that.
Okay.
I watched.
Good for you, Sandy.
I know. Get it, girl.
Yeah.
Our Father. Did you watch that on Netflix?
No, I did not.
Which one's that?
It's about the fertility doctor who was impregnating his patients without their consent.
No, I'm good.
Over 97.
No. No.
And still counting.
Is
the last title card said.
Where's the family reunion? At the arena. We had to get a lot of seats.
Is that what happened with Frank Lucas's family?
Oof, it's definitely one of those, you know, the meme or the gif, whatever, with the dude from My Name is Earl. It's like the shocked face or whatever with the, that was me. Yep. Like 90% of the movie, just like, oh, God, why?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you like that sort of thing, Amanda Waltz, I'm looking at you. It's good. And I watched Old.
I also watched Old. And I saw your review on Letterboxd. I was like, oh, I'm excited we get to talk about it on the pod.
I'm just going to sit back and wait.
What?
Go ahead.
In the entire fuck.
Correct.
Why? Because my Letterboxd thing was basically, has M. Night ever met people?
It's a really good review.
Has he spoken to people?
No.
Because the way his characters speak, it's like the kid who's just like, you know, hi, what's your name? What's your occupation? I feel like that's M. Night in real life. And the way these kids, these people speak about, you know, they're inserting their occupations in everything they talk about.
It's like he thought that we all have face blindness. And I guess that maybe it's because he's like, oh, well, the kid actors are going to turn into different actors over the course of the film. Yeah. But like, I don't know. They gave everybody that little mole and it worked.
Well, also, there's 10 people. We got it. We'll figure it out.
It truly was weird how much repetitive exposition it was. And like, I feel like if I was on a beach that made me old and I figured that out, I wouldn't keep mentioning.
Can you believe this beach makes us? Yes.
Can you believe I found this online?
We saw the trailer.
She didn't find it online. Someone gave her a pamphlet.
Right. And then when she stabs the doctor and explains that it's rust. When it goes into your bloodstream, it acts as poison.
No, that's not what rust does. Maybe that's beach that makes you old physics.
And also, the only good thing I can say is, like, there are some really great shots.
Yes, I agree.
Like, when, you know, the kids are, before it's revealed that they are older, whatever, you know, the shots on the kids. But we all know what this movie is about.
Right.
Right.
There's no need for this.
Right. Like,
it's not shocking.
Yes.
It's like he thought that he would get them everyone to agree, like, we're not going to put out a commercial. We're not going to put out a trailer. It's just going to be old and it's going to be an ominous shot of a beach and no one's going to have any idea.
Right.
It's like, no, that never happens.
No, that would have been great.
If he released this in 2003, he could have gotten away with that.
Yes, maybe.
Right.
But he didn't.
I'm just sick of them giving him money. Like, you know what?
Don't they not? Doesn't he like self-finance?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, this one was it said produced by him, solely produced by him. But you know what? I'm beyond of ever just thinking that yes, this is going to be a good thing where everyone's concerned. But this is the first one that physically made me angry.
I was surprised that I gave it 2 stars, I think, and I was surprised that I liked it so much more than you. But I think that basically I was like, the actors committed.
They tried.
Yeah, like they really did try. And that's kind of where I landed on it.
So
yeah.
All those stars and went I, for the actor. Went
and I thought
to the actors.
Was real. I thought the credit sequence was really cool. It's just like the names are really huge letters that grow serifs as they age. Aging fonts. That's funny.
So basically, like nothing that M. Night actually did.
Right. Right.
I went
two stars to the guy who designed the credits for old.
I just double checked. I went to 1 star on Letterboxd.
Wow.
So wait, I liked old. More than both of y'all?
Yeah.
Yes. Holy shit.
I gave it 0.5 star.
He has no idea what he's doing. And I would like to inform 50% of critics, Old has 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Half of all of us, it's Stockholm Syndrome. Guys, you just have to keep reviewing them. I know, I do too. And you've committed, because people were like, no, he has such an interesting style visually.
Nope.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
No.
He doesn't know what to shoot, when to shoot it, when to move the camera, how to build a scene.
Right.
And he doesn't know how to make dialogue that makes it sound like human beings are talking.
Right.
He just doesn't know.
Children,
and no one's stopping him.
Children in adult bodies is a good way for him to write dialogue. Like, it's that and
very
like the guy
natural.
Who's mentally deteriorating.
Right.
Like, that's like, that's how you handle this.
Right.
I also, like, Colin, he knew what the explanation was and he was like, what is the stupidest explanation you can think of? And I was like, is this even meant to be like a twist? Like, I guess that you could think that the beach that makes people old is just an unknown natural phenomenon and that there's nothing sinister going on. But I'm like, clearly something sinister is going on.
Well, yeah, obviously, because of the simple fact that they never came back for
them. Right, exactly. So, like, this, and they mentioned they're all sick. I'm like, this is the most obvious. It's much like in The Village, where it's like, there is an obvious twist here. I think we could all agree. It's not even a twist.
No, I called it in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and I was so upset when that was the fact.
Sorry, old spoilers. You're better off. What? There's a lab. They're doing a thing
for old. Oh, for old. Yeah,
they are using these people as accelerated drug testing subjects.
Oh, that's right.
So
right?
Instead of like something like it won't take a lifetime to test a Parkinson's drug, it'll
right. It's like, well, let's see what happens to them in 13 hours. But that's not how science works.
But it's also like, I guess they just found this beach, like this beach.
Right. They don't. They're not like we made this.
They're using the beach. Right. They didn't make the
beach.
There's
no explanation. The
explanation is, I don't know, fucking magnets. That's literally.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find my Rotten Tomatoes blurb. Let's see. Let's see what I did. I know we're a year late on this discussion.
And well, it just became free. I knew I wasn't going
to
pay for it.
Listen, just because you have an excuse to make children fucking have a baby doesn't mean you should make those children fucking have a baby.
That was weird.
That was unnecessary.
I do think this movie, when it came out, people liked it more because this was hot vax summer, right? People were like, we're at the movies. So anything that anything from the summer of 2021, people are like, best movie I've ever seen.
My Rotten Tomatoes blurb was, a solid premise spoiled by bad execution, like an appetizing meal placed in a blender and served as a thick paste.
Ooh.
Feels right.
Wow, spot on. Yeah. Yes. I'm also would very much like him to stop shoehorning himself into films. Like, God. Bitch, you're not Hitchcock.
Yeah.
It's just not. And at least Hitchcock had the decency not to speak.
Right.
He would just be there.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered
and
a lot
sometimes
of.
Sometimes barely.
Right. Robin, what did you see other than old?
I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
That's just still in the theater.
It is still in the theater. They're kind of down to like two showings a day, but apparently it's still doing very well. Like it's making ton of money per screen still.
Yeah.
So I highly
Everybody
recommend
is talking
it.
About it.
Like honestly, Sean said like, oh, did the hype get too, because I waited a month to see it, right? And it was like, did the hype get too high? And did you, and I was like, no. Like I knew, I was like, okay, it's probably not as good as everybody says it is, but like, it's as good as everybody says it is.
Really is.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too long. Otherwise I'd be like, 5 stars, right. Perfect movie. I particularly, like all the actors are incredible, but like Stephanie Hsu, I don't think I've ever seen her in anything. She plays the daughter and she is just incredible. Like she just does so much in a role that could have very easily gone wrong.
And Kohei Kwan, who hasn't really worked. Someone said, you know who would be good at this? It's Short Round from Temple of Doom. And they were right, having not seen him in 30 years.
Yeah. Aww.
And he nails, he's fantastic.
He's really good.
And I mean, we're skipping past the pretty excellent leading performance.
Obviously,
as well.
Michelle Yeoh is perfect, right? Okay. Like, and I truly, all three of them could be nominated for Oscars in a just world. And I think she's the one who has the closest shot, and I'll be very surprised if she actually makes it happen. But
I think it's as good as Jamie Lee has ever been.
Honestly, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But and that is what I would honestly, if like looking for fat to trim in this movie that is too long but otherwise perfect, I'm like, okay, we get it. In Hot Dog Fingers, they're in love.
I know, but it was really sweet.
Yeah, okay, but there was enough.
Very
enough.
Sweet.
We get it.
It is long. It's what, about
two? It's 2 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's long, but no, and love it's so, it. Like, gotta see it again.
I have long movie tolerance, as we've discussed at length. It's not just that it's long, it's turned up to 14. Mm-hmm. You know, like it is all the way cranked up for that long.
Oh, wow.
It's like,
it's just a lot of.
So it's just exhausting in a way.
Mm-hmm. There's never really a breather. It's just there's, like, ah.
Like, Colin and I had drinks before the movie, and I was like, Sean, when can I pee? And he's like, you can't.
Never.
I just said as early as possible.
And it's true. Yeah. I was fine. There were too many trailers. I was able to go pee. Yeah. It worked.
There you go. Yins want to draw a movie?
Let's Yay. Do it.
The Santa Claus.
I think I would like to play my veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
So thank you. Thank you.
I am going to.
I was going to if you weren't. So thanks for spending
I will,
that
I will,
one.
As the general of the army fighting the war on Christmas.
Right.
I like, once again will happily play my veto.
Not today, Satan.
Yes.
Christmas in May, I will not.
I watched this fairly recently.
The Santa Claus?
Yes.
Drive-in movie?
It was a drive-in movie because it was when I was going all the time. The December of 2020, they started putting especially every family Christmas movie.
Right.
Like as the back, I think it was with Elf or something. I was like, you know what? This made a lot of money. They made a lot of sequels. It must be kind of cute. And it, nope, nope, just no. So now we have to take whatever comes next. And I can't imagine it getting worse.
Oh, Sean, why would you say such a thing?
The fates?
Yeah.
I had already pressed the button. How do the fates work?
Magnets.
The better question is, was there a Santa Claus connection to the Will Smith slap?
I don't know. Tim Allen sucks.
Tim Allen there.
I guess the connection there is that Tim Allen was a drug dealer.
Yes.
So that's how he's connecting. Tony's connecting us to American Gangster through that.
You know what else I saw at the drive-in on a much better night is Blazing Saddles, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Right.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's
interesting.
Great. Oh, it's so good. I mean, I'm interested because I've known it since I was 13.
Mm, same.
So I don't know, coming to it fresh with historically very little interest in Westerns.
Right.
As you have.
Same.
But is it the best one? Is it the best Mel Brooks? Young Frankenstein might be a little bit better.
I haven't seen Blazing Saddles since maybe college, maybe high school. So yeah. I'm going to guess that I like it less than Young Frankenstein because I think I like Young Frankenstein as much as you could like a thing.
Young Frankenstein is perfect.
But I'm very excited to rewatch this movie and talk about it.
Blazing Saddles does. We'll get to it. Clearly a we're out of ideas ending to Blazing Saddles, but it's lovely.
Cool.
What I want
successful
you
to, veto.
Yeah, great. The Santa Claus to Blazing Saddles is probably about as big of a jump as you can make. And what I want you to know going into it is the theme song. It has a great, I forget who does it, but it has like an old school country ballad theme song that plays at the beginning. And they did not tell the singer that this was a parody movie. And boy, can you tell. He's just completely earnest, like he's doing The Searchers too. Like just completely plays it straight. Roy Rogers cheery.
Nice.
On the opening themes. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy. I could have watched it anyway at any given time. But no, and this, by the way, is one from our new round of editions because it's from 1974.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we are finally back. Yeah.
Thank you, Wikipedia hero.
Anonymous Wikipedia editor. Your gifts have finally paid off. Well, before we go, and that'll be a challenge for the ending of the show.
Goodness.
I don't know what was on the charts in 74, but maybe you know what the number one song in America was on November 2nd, 2007.
Okay, so Rihanna was over the summer, so I think it's too late for Rihanna, and so I'm going to go with Alicia Keys, No One.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That was, you're a month early. December 1st is
in my brain, 2007 goes, we listen to Umbrella all summer, and then we listen to Alicia Keys all fall.
Oh no, there's a pretty big multi-week hit in between those two.
Ooh.
Much, much later, this might be the source of my favorite quote tweet of all time. I don't know if that's a clue
that
or
is
not.
Not going to be a helpful clue, I don't think. 2007, is it Justin Timberlake?
I'd clearly call this a one-hit wonder. I'm sure the artist...
Soulja Boy, crank that!
Yes, correct.
Is that what that song is actually called?
It's called Crank That Parentheses, Soulja Boy.
Right, and the band was Soulja Boy Tell 'Em.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't think I even know this song.
You'd recognize it if you heard it.
Yeah.
2007. Yeah. Was this song in a club?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and it was number one for one, two,
was I in the club?
7 weeks that fall between September and November. Yeah. My favorite quote tweet ever is one day Rudy Giuliani accidentally just tweeted the word you and nothing else. And Soulja Boy replied, crank that Soulja Boy.